Hi and welcome to the I Love Man NN podcast, where each episode we hear somebody talk about why they love the Isle of Man. It really is that simple. And what we're doing also is asking our guests to nominate a future guest. And Graham Hall was a guest on the very first Isle of Man podcast episode, and he nominated Ewan Christian, who we're going to hear from now. And the first question I asked Ewan was, what does it mean to you to be Manx?
On the way up here, I was wondering what you're going to ask. That's a hard one, isn't it? So many different levels. I suppose at the moment, one of the things that I'm super proud of the island and everybody that lives here and me being part of it as a Manx person is the community we have. So I suppose that would be what a lot of people would mention. One of the benefits of living on such a small island with close-knit families and everybody's connected one way or another, the generosity with people's time, the generosity in people's businesses, it's just jaw-dropping. For the last couple of years, I've had the pleasure of going out and meeting an awful lot of these people because I work for Alison. So my role at Alison was community fundraiser. So the amount of people I met, that they never say no. I mean, some people do. But I ask an awful lot of people of things. So, yeah, the community in the island is just absolutely outstanding. As well.
Yeah, I think that's key, isn't it? A place is only really the sum of its people at the end of the day.
Yeah, 100%. And if that's people that have just arrived, I think people pick up on that very quickly, that they walk down the street, they see the same person 10 times. They probably go, well, that's never happened before. This is a very small place. And everybody's affected. I suppose this is one of the reasons maybe why people are so generous, is everybody's affected by a little bit of tragedy, whether that's directly as friends or family. So people really do their best to look out for one another here. And it can be quite sobering at times. Yeah.
And you know, that idea, as you said, just walking down the street and always knowing that you're going to see somebody that you know. And I think it'd be fair to say that at a certain age, probably, you know, when you're sort of a teenager, maybe early 20s, there might be a time when you find that quite restrictive. And so maybe think, I need to go off and do my own thing. But then that pull, ultimately, for so many people, will always bring them back.
I suppose I had a little bit of experience that, you know, growing up here, you don't notice it quite so much because it's normal. And maybe you feel that you don't know that many people because when you're at school, I think it's a little bit different. Now, when we're at school, I didn't know many people at Ballacameen or Ramsey Grammar or anything. I mean, kids do now because I think people travel more for sports. But I left the island and I came back and I opened my pub. And took me a bit by surprise quite how many people remember you. Facebook and social media has obviously helped with that, but people don't forget, and you tend not to forget as well. But then you're walking down the street and it's great, it's wonderful, but it makes you late for everything. You've got to stop and talk to everybody. And I love stopping and talking to people. It drives my missus absolutely mad, but it's definitely an island thing because you see it all the time. Trade allure, isn't it?
Yeah, I was just going to say, that's exactly the nature of it, isn't it? And actually, isn't it lovely when you realise how much more relaxed we are here? I think if you've got relatives across and maybe see how they have to work and their commute and whatever.
Yeah, it's a hard thing to understand that. So I was in London for on and off for nearly, I don't know, I've always said 17 years, but I think it's more like 13. And when you look at people on the tube, when I go back now because my son's there, it's mad. Like, and you compare it to, we complained that there's a single decker bus at school run time, and you know, there's people on the tube like packed in like sardines all trying to get to work. We're very fortunate, we're very lucky. You might know everyone, but you can walk around the corner and not see anyone for an hour.
And you mentioned your son's in London. What do you think his thoughts of the island are?
So he's been coming over since he was really young, and I think he loves it. One of the things that he used to always talk about when he was younger was the stars and how you can see nighttime in London. There's so much light pollution. You're very lucky if you see a couple. But for those of you who walk your dogs at night, one of the things I love about winter is I take my dog down Port Erin Beach, and the sky on a clear night is just... it's just insane. We've got all of our night sky. What are they called?
Dark skies.
Dark skies. So, he really, really loved that. It took him a while to get used to how everybody knew who he was. Of course, that's the power of Instagram and Facebook, isn't it? And it must be awful for that generation of kids, everybody knowing who they were. And
we can't get away with anything, eh?
No.
Mind you, it's the same in our day, Jim, and I'm sure.
Yeah.
Just thinking about you and being a Manx person, I mean, you couldn't have a more Manx name, really.
Yeah, that's very correct.
Have you got very long Manx roots?
Very long. Funny you ask, it's one of my favourite topics. So I've done quite a lot of genealogy. Is it genealogy? genealogy?
Family history.
Yeah, yeah. Family history, ancestry, everything. And I love it. I love how connected we are as a people, especially as like that tiny little pocket of indigenous people. So I've done like hours of wormhole research trying to find out who the first person that came over with my surname was, and you know, all this talk at Milne Town about the Christians coming from Gilchrist. I could go on about it.
And have you got connections there? Have you found that you're sort of connected?
Oh yeah, so what tends to happen, people might correct me if I might be a little bit wrong, but there's a lot of research been done here. There's a Manx DNA study, they've done loads. So most of the surnames, they tend to come from one person that came over. So even though in my family tree I've got Kerfys, Cleggs, Williams, Kellys, Cowleys, all sorts of things, a little bit of Scottish, a little bit of Yorkshire, my surname, my actual, the Christian, it comes from some fellow that probably came over with Robert the Bruce, and he is actually part a member of the Clan Chattan, which includes the Bane, McBain, not Bane from Batman, and the Macintoshes. So at some point there is a fellow from just outside of Inverness called Christian Della Aird who spent a bit of time in Corfe prison after the Battle of Dunbar. I can't believe I'm saying all of this. It's just like a dream. The constable of Corfe Castle at the time was Simon Montague, and Simon Montague ended up as the first English Lord of Man after Thomas Randolph. And if I could join all my dots together, then that Christian Della could quite possibly be one of the right-hand men of Thomas Randolph. And Thomas Randolph was Robert the Bruce's nephew, and he was the last Scottish Lord of Man.
Flipping heck.
For the Scots, yeah.
That is some lineage.
Yeah, it is, isn't it? It's quite cool, yeah. So,
but I think that also highlights, June, something else about the connections that people from the Isle of Man have, and actually the things that people from the Isle of Man do. There are some very important figures who maybe aren't the ones that we're used to hearing about, but actually were fundamental in their own way in pushing things. Something like Sophia Goulden, for example, Emily Pankhurst, and all that sort of link. But it's fascinating, isn't it, that this tiny place can have such outreach.
Oh, it's like from a family history point of view, just in my name alone, and this isn't, there must be hundreds of people, like the Christian name went everywhere, all over. It was quite influential. Cockermouth with Fletcher Christian, and they all had military background, and they all stretched down into Derby. They're not Christians now, but there's descendants from Ilium Doan living out in Derby, you know. So like there's towns in the US. There's a town called Williamsburg, named after one of Doan's descendants who was influential in the American Civil War, or the War of Independence, I think it was, against the British. It's just he's got a whole town named after him, and he has a similar bloodline to me. So there's loads of people that, if anybody's interested, they'll find one. It's just probably quite that simple. There will be an interesting story in everybody's family somewhere, and it's just insane.
I love the fact that Milne Town could potentially be in yours as well. Do you know, well, consider it a second home?
Seeing as you talk about it, I often drive past the airport and I'm like, that's mine.
And I mean, obviously that's your surname, but Juan being a very Manx name, how often do you get called Juan when you're not over here?
It used to happen all the time in London, in the UK, and then it kind of stopped. It's the amount of people who would hear my accent and kind of go, oh, what, he doesn't sound Spanish,
doesn't particularly look Spanish.
No, well, I just had a call today, a video call with somebody in the UK, and he couldn't hide it on his face that he got this big pale orange fella, face taking up the whole screen because I'm that close to the computer, and he was obviously like, he's not Spanish. So that was quite funny. But it doesn't happen quite so much anymore.
So family wise then, was it important, do you think, for you to have a Manx name? Was that sort of thing when you were growing up, that Manxness, important?
Oh, you're talking about all the things I like to talk about. So John is a family name, probably same with a lot of Manx names. So John, Thomas, William, Ewan, they're very popular across the board. So my son's called Thomas. My dad was called Graham, but his brother was called Stanley, Thomas Stanley. His other brother was called John. Always got called by his middle name, but his first name was John. My cousin Gary is called John. My sister's called Janet, which is another version of John. And then if you go through my direct, I've got about 10 Johns in the first 12. And I was what they call a mistake in the family. So my dad had already given the John name to my sister, and then he saw an opportunity and he went with it with both hands and he called me June.
The other thing that you're very well known for over here, June, is your passion for music. And we've been talking a little bit about in previous episodes about the Manx music and the inheritance it gets from folklore. Are you a Manx music fan?
You know what? It's relatively new to me, a lot of the Manx music. Now I've started working for Munya Vega, I've started listening to a lot more. I follow, obviously, Tom Tom Collister and Isla Collister on Instagram, so I've seen an awful lot of their stuff. I've had the privilege of organising gigs with Daniel Quayle and Elizabeth Blythe, who are just absolutely phenomenal. I've started listening to Imar, I've started listening to Brule, so I'm getting there. But when you come from like more of a classic rock kind of background, I am a total sucker for listening to the same thing over and over and over again. So it's been a quick uplift to me and kind of shift it over, and I'm doing my best to kind of immerse myself in it, because it is important. A lot of these people that are making this music are very similar to me. They've got a real deep connection to the Isle of Man, but they've also got connections in their groups with other parts of the Celtic nations. And Tom Collister, they're playing stadiums that, like, they're incredibly famous. And then a couple of years ago, he came back over here, and they were just sat in the corner of Compton Vaults playing the Liam Doe Memorial Sessions, and it's just mind blowing, great, isn't it?
And again, it goes back to that idea, doesn't it, that we've got people from the Isle of Man who go off and do amazing things.
Yeah, and because people often look at sport, don't they? I don't think maybe people look at music quite as much. Maybe it's because we haven't had that one commercial superstar, but, you know, Christine Collister. I watched her with my dad about, I don't know, nearly 25 years ago in the Erin Arts Centre, and she was world famous, and not many people know that, do they?
Because she's so approachable, isn't she? She's just like, yeah, she really is. And I think that probably is one of the things that really makes Manx people who go off and do things stand out even more, because when they come back, they're just like, they don't have that ego sometimes, no, do they?
Joe Locke, we were at the Gaiety a few months back watching Everybody Talks About Jamie, because my stepdaughter was in it, and it was wonderful. And I just seen out the corner of my eye, about three rows in front of me, was Joe Locke with his hat on. And I gave my other daughter a little nudge, "There's Joe Locke," and she got a phone out. I'm like, no, just leave him alone. Don't do it. Respect his privacy. Next thing, out the corner of my eye, I see my partner. But she was very discreet. But he was there for the whole thing. Yeah, it was brilliant. I just thought it was wonderful that he'd taken time out of his day to come and experience that, because it was such a powerful piece of theatre. I loved it. I think we've seen it three times.
And theatre, again, is another example of where we absolutely shine. Some of those productions. Yeah, it's incredible.
Well, what was it? Why we went to watch John Slight and everybody at the Hunchback of Notre Dame. Was just absolutely insane. And I know, darling, when I was in London, I didn't go to the West End Theatre that much, but I've watched Wicked 5 times. I love Wicked. So when you go and watch something in the West End, sometimes you can think something local could never be that good, but it is. It's just that simple. It is. You've got to go. You've got to go and experience it when these things are on, because the Gaiety is a wonderful asset to the Manx community, and the people that get use of it, it's just absolutely brilliant. Yeah, something about Jamie was... it was just great. The topic for the time as well, I think, was quite powerful. There's a lot of brave kids that got involved in it, so I'm very proud of everyone that did it.
And I wonder if the sort of the theatre and the musical theatre side of things is that people just care so much, don't they? The amount of time that goes into rehearsals and just making sure that the costume's right, the staging is right. There's no sense that they're thinking, oh, this isn't the West End, so we don't need to try so hard.
No, they're taking their opportunities and they're giving it both barrels all the time. And one of the things about the Isle of Man is that I've found since I moved back is most people have two or three hats, constantly juggling maybe two jobs, or they're a chairperson of this thing, they're involved in this organisation. Nobody's lazy in the Isle of Man. We have this saying, this trade allure, but everybody is absolutely chocker. So the dedication that so many people put into the cause, whether it be theatre or like Nell, he's in about 12 bands. He doesn't stop, and he's got a full time job.
Who is this, Nell?
Nell Neal. You know, it's just an example. Like he's so dedicated to bringing music to the people that he just doesn't stop. And that's the same for an awful lot of people involved in the arts. And there's probably only a handful of people that could probably be classed as professional artists and musicians on the island. So most people who really, really are dedicated to, whether it be theatre, the Kensington Arts or Soundcheck or anything, when they go out and they want to do their own, there's hours and hours and hours of work and preparation and organisation for them to be able to do what they love. It doesn't put people off, does it?
No, it really doesn't. So just reminders then. So you were in London for some time. You came back to the Isle of Man. You sort of prompted that decision because you thought that's the place you always thought you'd end up back here, or more circumstances?
A bit of both.
So, as is typical for most people.
Yeah.
And then you mentioned Compton Vaults then. Yeah. How did that all come about? Just remind us about
that.
So
it was probably part of what you just mentioned there. I had my son was in London, I hurt my back doing some lift. I was lifting like a thing called a kegerator, and I had a bit of sciatica, and I ruptured a couple of discs, herniated some discs in my back, and I spent like a whole summer in bed. And when you hurt your back, your mental health goes, you feel pretty pathetic, you feel sorry for yourself. And it kind of shifted a few things into perspective. And about 5 years before that, 4 years before that, my mum died. And I always kind of carried this weight of guilt that I was never here for my sisters. And it was always at the back of my mind. And I always thought, I'll come back, I'll have maybe five more years. And then I was working for a beer distributor called Cave Direct. My livelihood there was selling craft beer to pubs. And before that, I was running and opening craft beer venues. And I started to sell beer to Chris Griffiths at Bottle Monkey and Ian and Mary Beth down at Forage and Vintage. So I was coming over a little bit more, and my dad started getting unwell, and I could see him getting older, and things weren't really working out as I thought they would be in London. And then just talking to mates, and I mentioned to Hugo McKenzie once, he's like, well, what do you need? And I was like, a pub. And like an hour later, I had someone on the phone to me, and it was literally like that. Yeah. And then a lot of help, and I relocated back. And it's hard, like, you know, because there is aspects of family life that really needed to run their course. And you sometimes you have this great, glorious idea that everything is going to be fine, but there's always something. So it hasn't been without its low points, but it was the right decision. Like, ultimately, I was the right age to come back. Compton Vaults was, I'm very proud of Compton Vaults, and it was short and sweet, and my son does love it over here. I've got four amazing stepkids. My partner puts up with me. You know, we've got 11 cats.
No, you haven't. Yes. You haven't got 11 cats. 11 cats?
11 cats.
You got any Manx cats?
We do have a Manx cat called Pickles, yeah. He's a lovely little one. He's a bit of a creature. So, yeah, no, everything's great. And Compton Vaults, I think when you look at, like, maybe divine intervention and stuff like that, when you notice that things are just falling into place, and you feel and you go with your gut a little bit, and your friends, like, a lot of my Manx friends were always very supportive of me when I had some tricky periods. They'd always come over to London and pick me up whenever I needed it and everything. And they just all sort of, like, clicked at the same time as I did. And it was just nice. It didn't feel like it was wrong. I suppose that's the best way to put it. And here we are.
Here we are, indeed. And just thinking still with your previous job, and you were selling beer, and you were talking about Foraging Vintners and Bottle Monkey and whatever. And again, there's another example of that entrepreneurial spirit, I suppose, that is so vital over here. These people who set up these businesses that do incredibly well. And you compare us probably to when we were teenagers. There didn't seem to be that many places to go out and eat necessarily.
There probably was, but maybe we had to put up with an awful lot. We couldn't really pick and choose. Like, if look at Smoky Sam's. If that's your bag, that wasn't around when we were around. Like, it, at all. Secret Pizza wasn't around when we were around and when we were younger. And, of course, you've got places like Noah. Like, they're just absolutely smashing it. And that's another example of a bit like Miles and Pippa. They've got, like, 9 million hats. Nobody knows what they're doing because they're doing so much stuff. You know, they've got so many things to juggle. They're incredible, incredible businessmen. Ian and Mary Beth are absolutely phenomenal. Jamie Lewis. Like, they're doing really, really great things. And then you've got people that don't get spoken about in the same vein as Carl Jockin up in Ramsey. Like, you know, absolute grafter, a cool bar in the Mitre. And for Nodri, there's loads of things we could talk about everybody. Whereas I suppose maybe we look back and think, well, there was only Bushies.
Well, I couldn't get into Bushies, I'm afraid. I think I'm sticking with Coasters. I think that's all I ever remember.
Coasters,
going out
chicken burgers,
going out for food,
Mr. Cods.
Yeah.
So
Mr. Cods. Oh,
it is nice looking back. I've got some great photos of Mr. Cods from when we left school. They are just nice memories.
Route 66. That was a good one. That was a good one.
Route 66 was.
Oh yeah, we did have good things then.
We did have good things. Yeah.
In terms of your work now then, I mean, you mentioned I'll Listen, also Munja Vega. Just remind us what Munja Vega is all about.
Oh, so Munja Vega, so there's the nursery in St. John's, and there's also the charity arm of the organisation. And we are a Manx educational charity. So I am by no means fluent. Make sure everyone knows.
Are you learning though? You are learning.
Well, I've been learning for a very long time. And I wonder whether that's one of the reasons why they liked me in my interview, because I know Phil Gorn's on the board at Munja Vega, and he did ask me how my learning was going. And I said, I will be perfectly honest, Phil, it's pretty difficult, but I'm still going. I've got my lessons with Ruth. We've got one tonight. I've had lessons with some friends. It's getting there, definitely. But I think from a point of view and a purpose where we need to grow the language in the community and make it really accessible and take a bit of the pressure off people, because all you need to know is a little more of my and Kistar and some answers, you know.
Tammy Brow. There you
Tammy
go.
Tammy Brow. Throw one that of my favourites is Tammy Tiggle. I understand. It's very fun to
say. I might throw that in.
Tammy Tiggle. I think having somebody that's learning go out into the community and explain to people that you can get it, it just takes a bit of time, is probably a little bit reassuring for anybody that we come up to, because it can be quite intimidating, let's not lie. Learning any language is really, really, really hard. And Gaelic, with it being one of the rarer languages on the planet, can be even more kind of...
And
a lot of people are afraid of making mistakes.
I think that was exactly what I was going to say, Joe. And I think people do have that fear, don't they, that they're going to look stupid or they're not going to be able to pick it up. And I think if you don't start learning when you're knee-high to a grasshopper, it is more difficult.
Yeah.
But there are opportunities for people over here.
There are definitely opportunities. There's lots of learning assets. I'm creating some learning assets. I'm working with Adrian Kane from Bunskall. He's got Cray Renouju, which we're putting on a podcast, which is the learning asset for the parents, because parents are busy. The last thing you're going to do sometimes when your mind's busted from a day is pick up a book and learn a language. So we're putting that onto Spotify. So we're going to be launching that soon. We're going to be making some videos that are going to make it really easy to pick up some bits, real short blasts. But there's lots of people doing it. There's loads of content out there. Taser Jockin is doing some bits with Gal Daclair, Bailey Manx. So hopefully we just get people to pick it up, because it's everywhere. Let's face it. Most people's houses probably have a Gaelic name. Most people's streets. Everywhere we walk, it's definitely everywhere. So people are using it without even realizing it. So it's just making people a little bit more aware that they're using it without using it, and therefore that might actually just take a little bit of the stigma away from the language.
And why do you think it's so important that we still have our Manx language, and that it is in certain areas certainly starting to flourish again?
Yeah, well, there's loads of things, isn't there? So one of the reasons why I like to do it is, and this is going to sound a little bit weird, is it just makes me feel a little bit more connected to the people, and like the thousands of people that are here before I was, so that I could be here. That's I suppose, from an Indigenous person to learn an Indigenous language, that's quite a strong pull. It's good for your mental health. It's good to set yourself a challenge. Everything's on social media, so people get quick gratification nowadays. And learning a language gives you delayed gratification, which is a lot more of a slower and a higher dopamine kick. So learning a language is not only great for you to feel a little bit connected to maybe your great uncle and the stories that he told, or the songs that they sung, but also it's just really healthy. It just gets your brain thinking. You'll figure some things out that maybe you've never realised that you were that interested in before. You'll understand why some hills are called the things they do, like Slough Maggle, for instance, which is Testicle Hill. So there's lots of fun things.
Is it really?
There's one down south. There's one in Kirkmichael, and it's just where they used to castrate animals.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah. So there's loads of fun to be had with it, and there's loads of stories. You find things out, and you can take your places, can it?
Do you know what? I'm not going to forget that now, June.
See, and that and Tammy Tiggle.
There you go. I've learned something. But I think it is really important, like you say, to make it fun, make it relevant, and actually, you know, let's just take the pressure off people.
Yeah.
You're not going to get it right every single time, but by promoting it and continuing it, it really is. Well, it's a legacy.
Well, that's exactly it, and it's really interesting. There's a huge resurgence in the other Celtic nations. Like, you know, you look at Ireland, I think that the numbers are growing like at an exponential rate. I think that's the right word. And Wales, there's still loads of speakers. I follow a lot of Scottish speakers. It's growing and growing and growing. And hopefully we'll catch on, because recently they've had a film crew over from Jersey, I think. Ruth will be angry if I get that wrong. Definitely Jersey. And they're here because they want to promote their Indigenous language, and we're their measuring stick. So that's quite a nice little thing, that people are looking at us to pull themselves up to where we are. So the guys at Culture Van, and Ruth is like mega busy pushing the language, and there's loads of key stakeholders that are really working hard, and it's paying dividends. I think they should be very proud of themselves.
So you've got that side with Munja Vega, but then you've also got the I'll Listen, which I think goes right back to the start of this conversation, which is all about people and a deep-rooted care for people, because, you know, you talk about mental health, and we're certainly not immune from that here on the Isle of Man by any stretch of the imagination. So to have that point of call and hopefully that early intervention, particularly with your own past experience, must be something that's a real proud thing to be part of.
Yeah. When I sold the pub, and then I started working with a very good friend of mine called Simon Martin. I was in construction for 3 years, and I didn't think I was going to leave it. I loved it. I never laughed so much in my life. We got great satisfaction out of working hard and getting jobs done, and we had loads of fun along the way. I had a particularly bad day, maybe a bad week, and some friends sent me the link to go, "Oh, listen, we're looking for a fundraiser." So I went and interviewed, and I was very nervous. I sent a ridiculous cover letter. So it's like, "Why would you even consider me?" or something like that. You know, it's just a little bit. And they offered me a job, and, you know, I think it's very easy. You can get a bit of imposter syndrome sometimes, and it takes a while to shake that. You've really got to get some real big hits under your belt. And it was a steep learning curve. And sometimes I would think, "Oh, I'm not quite up for it." But the way it makes you feel when you finish work, it's just incredible. Like, you kind of think, "Oh, God, well, you know, I'm working for a charity. Shouldn't I be doing this for free?" But then you think, well, if you do your best, and you do it better than anybody else can, to the best of your ability, and you really change people's lives by your actions, then you're justified in your decision-making. So Alison was absolutely brilliant. And now, my role's changed slightly. It was community-based, so I was out meeting an awful lot of people. Now I'm just kind of, I just do the events, the Alison events, so it's Tough Mucker, which we talk about on the Make Sure I Do quite a lot. But I do miss big chunks of that community work. And I do get that back with a bit of the Money Vegas stuff, but, you know, the relationships you build with people, because you're going out, and if you're going into the corporates, and the corporate world's changed quite a bit, it's a little bit more casual, which suits me down to the ground, because I'm not a collared person at all. Knowing that you're going to go back to these people and say, "You did this and you did that, and your money changed that person's life," it just makes people feel so good, you know. It's great. Well, I really do love it. I'm very, 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 very lucky to be doing what I do.
And while you might get a sense of whose life you've changed, there will be the unspoken thing with all those people who have changed for the better, who've had positive outcomes because of what you've done, and you'll never really know about them.
No, and that kind of makes you feel even better, knowing that perhaps that there's people out there that, yeah, you've changed, and they've never told anybody.
Yeah,
yeah, it's a funny thing. Like, the team at Alison is quite big, and I often sit there and I look across the room, and there's the schools team and there's the therapists, and we'll have a little bit of bants, and they're all fun, and I just think, God, like, I couldn't do what they do. Like, they go into these one-to-one sessions, they're hearing low level and high level things, and the work they do is just, I can't. I wouldn't be able to do it. It'd keep me awake at night. I'd be taking it home and crying. Yeah, it's incredible.
So, June, the whole purpose of this podcast is really exploring why we love the Isle of Man, first of all, but also why typically sometimes we're not very good at speaking ourselves up. There is that tendency, and I wonder if this is just a social media thing. It seems to crop up time and time again that people are pretty negative online, and there seems, you know, once one person starts moaning, then it's sort of infectious, isn't it? How do we challenge that, I suppose, at its root, and get people to really see? I mean, you've just scratched the surface with what you love about the island and its people. How do we get people to see that and think, actually, do you know what? We've got it pretty good.
Yeah, it's a tricky one, isn't it? Sometimes when I see the fallout of anything negative, I look at how many people have commented on this post, and I think about how many people live here, and then that just puts it all in perspective, isn't it? And it's the same people an awful lot. You can throw a stamp on them. If you think about it a little bit like that, and don't get me wrong, maybe some of the gripes are justified. There are things that maybe as a whole, we could be doing better. And there's some things that maybe attitudes could change towards some things, because maybe we're disconnected from mass communities, which can make some people feel a little bit different about some things. But I do just like to put it into perspective, and I look at the small numbers, really. It might look like there's a lot on a post, but there's so many more people out there that aren't wasting their energy talking about negative stuff. I think, oh, there's 50 people there saying bad things. There's 78,000 people out there thinking good things. That's the way that I kind of like to
do it. I like that.
Yeah, because it's easy to shout from the rooftops. Oh, it's easy to vent a bit. And people say, like you say, people tend not to say positive things. It's like a restaurant review. Most people go online, "Oh, I had a terrible time." Nobody really goes home and said, "I had a wonderful time," and puts a positive review on. It's very much like that. So there's the fact that there's only 20 people complaining. There's plenty more people out there that are probably a lot more positive about everything, aren't there? Well, I hope there are.
And if there was one place on the island which you were going to tell somebody who'd maybe never been over here before that you have to go to, where would that be?
Oh, you ask about it. There's so many. There are so many, but I'm probably going to... It's got to be that West Coast view, hasn't it? You know, from... If you walk from Glen Chass, as he talked about, all the way around, and you can get to Niarbal, or you pick any part of that section from the Sound all the way up through Fleshic, Conconeerley, Latnobenya, the South Brawl. Honest to God, I think it's unmatched on the planet. When the sun's right and it's clear as a daisy and the heather's out and the gorse is out. We were cycling through, went to Lagnacilly a couple of weeks ago and seen a kite, like a red kite. Just there. What a place we live in. It's just absolutely incredible. There's that, there's Mull Hill, there's Castle Rushen, there's Snaefell. There's loads.
Yeah, you were in your Latin one. Juan, it's been fascinating talking to you. Thank you so much for being part of the podcast. I am going to ask you if there's somebody else you think should be interviewed who will be able to...
So I've got the biggest list. Caught me on the spot, and I'd like Rowan Henthorn.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know whether you want to give her the heads up first or whether I'll just...
Yeah, home, yeah.
Amazing. And just finally then, so Slough Maggle, yeah?
Slough Maggle.
There you go, I've learned something.
That's it, every day's
amazing.
A school
day. Do you want to just give us the contact details if people want to get in touch with Munjavega? Perhaps they're feeling a little bit inspired now about learning a bit of Manx.
You know what, you can contact me at projects@munjavega. I don't want to spell it.
Okay. We'll put the link on the podcast page. Juan, thank you so much.
No, Cormier.
Juan Christian. And you know what? I wasn't going to have a go at spelling Munjavega either, but I have learnt a little bit of Manx now, which I will be throwing into everyday conversation. The link to get in touch with Juan is on the podcast page. So if you are feeling remotely inspired, he'd love to hear from you. So many opportunities out there. And you don't have to be fluent in the language just to have an understanding of it and help perpetuate its future. And again, that real sense of optimism talking to Juan there. I love his approach to the social media thing, which is something I think a lot of us can get bogged down in, but actually a few people writing negative things on a post doesn't mean that everybody is feeling that way, and so perhaps that is something to hold on to. If you would like to get in touch with the podcast, maybe you'd like to be part of a future episode, or you'd just like to share your thoughts about the Isle of Man, then I'd love to hear from you. Beth Espy at manxradio.com, and until next time, take care. Bye bye.